أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون. فلا يحزنك قولهم إنا نعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون. أولم ير الإنسان أنا خلقناه من فإذا هو خصيم مبين. وضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم. أضرب لنا مثلا ونسي خلقه قال من يحيي العظام وهي رميم. قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة قل يحييها الذي أنشأها أول مرة وهو بكل خلق عليم. الذي جعل لكم من الشجر الأخضر نارا فإذا أنتم منه توقدون. أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر بقادر على أن يخلق يخلق مثلهم بلى بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما إنما إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا النبي الأمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه الغر الميامين وعلى من اتبع سنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. Dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, today's surah is Surah Al-Kahf. As we established last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded the surah before Surah Al-Kahf, which is Surah Al-Isra, by saying, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ and say, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. So Surah Al-Kahf came with the statement, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Surah Al-Kahf starts with, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا قَيِّمًا. The main objective, the central idea of this surah is protection from the fitna, from tribulation, from the trials. Especially the greatest fitna that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of, which is the fitna of Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist. Matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed in the hadith that there was no single Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except he warned his people of the fitna of Ad-Dajjal. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the information to the Anbiya when he was coming, so everybody was warning and preparing his people of the fitna, the tribulation of the Antichrist, Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. Surah Al-Kahf is a great surah. And like all the surahs of the Quran, it is filled, packed with lessons and teaching. We will start by ayah number 7 and 8. And this is the summary of all the fitnas, which means all the tribulations, all the fitnas that Ad-Dajjal will bring are summarized by one line in the surah. What is the line? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala.
وإنا لجاعلون ما عليها صعيدا جرزا.
Most certainly what is on earth is like a dormant. To test them, Allah says, who is more excellent in good deeds? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and for sure we are going to destroy everything on this earth. So Dajjal will use the fitna of dunya. And under this summary, the fitna of dunya, we have different tribulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining in Surah Al-Kahf. But it doesn't matter how we look at it, it is the fitna of this life, the fitna of dunya. The first story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates in this great surah is the story of the youth of the cave. These youth were together. They were following their prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention that, but you can read between the lines that they were believers. They were not prophets, so therefore they were following one of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their people were trying to bring them back to worship the idols. Not only that, you read in the surah that they were saying, after they woke up and they were talking, let's go get food. They said, be careful when you go get the food, because otherwise our people is going either to stone us or obligate us to worship their idols. Of course, they did not know that they have slept for 300 years and Allah increased them 309 years. So the point of it is that they said, oh, if our people catch us, they are going to either stone us, punish us because we are believers, or obligate us to worship the idols. So they ran away with their faith. They went to the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their iman, made them a sign, made them an ayah until the last day of judgment. So the ulama say that this fitna, the fitna of this group of youth, is called the fitna of the bad environment. The bi'a, bad environment. You have a bear in the North Pole, temperature is below zero, and you have a bear in Africa. This is a bear and that one is a bear. If you switch them, they will die. Why? Because the bear of the North Pole is prepared to live in its environment. It's not prepared to live with the bears of Africa and vice versa. So everything has an environment. So the ulama say, therefore iman, ihsan, taqwa and good deeds also need good environment. And notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a group of youth. And this is a great message for the youngsters. Our young brothers and sisters, they should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that they have to stick with the good group because of what people call peer pressure. Peer pressure, the influence of the group. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to another type of fitna in ayah number 31, and that is the fitna of mal, money and wealth. And this is the story of the two friends. One of them was rich. He told his friend, أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا. I have more money than you and more followers. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of awlad in the Quran, in today's terminology, he is talking about followers. Why? Because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the system was the tribe. So Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, they always used to talk about their children and offspring, meaning more followers. Nowadays, this applies to the followers of the people. So this second fitna is about money and wealth and followers. So that man, he saw his gardens, he saw that he had so much wealth and money, and his friend didn't have the same. So he told him, you know, I am higher than you, I have more money, I have more wealth, I have more children and followers, and you don't have that. And I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a great reward for me if there is a last day of judgment. He is saying if there is last day of judgment, which means that he was hesitant. He did not fully believe in Yawmul Qiyamah. So his friend is dialoguing with him. He's telling him, be careful what you are saying. You are saying if there is Yawmul Qiyamah, for sure there is Yawmul Qiyamah. And you have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what you are saying is an act of kufr. Don't commit kufr. Allah is giving you these great bounties, two gardens, rivers among them, you know, and trees and everything anyone wishes for. You should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all his trees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed completely these two gardens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a scene that he is describing that man started to hit his hands on his investment. عَلَى مَا أَنفَقَ فِيهَا. He is blaming himself and he is so sad about his loss, about his investment. Then subhanallah, right after this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another ayah describing the fitna of life. After the story of the owner of the two gardens finished, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing ayah 45 and 46. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِيرًا. And give them the example of this life, like rain came down on earth, then plants and gardens came out, but soon after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these green plants to become yellow, and the wind just came and took it away. This is the example of life. Then in the ayah that came after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-malu wal-banoon. Al-malu wal-banoon zinatul hayatid dunya. Wal-baqiyatu s-salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaba. Khayrun inda rabbika thawaba wa khayrun. Money and children are the zina, the adornment of this life. But al-baqiyatu salihat, the good deeds are the only things that will remain after death. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to another story. The story of Hadrat Musa alayhi salam with al-Khadr. And this type of fitna is the fitna of knowledge. Knowledge is power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through this story that we must be humble. You know, who was Rasulullah at the time of Musa alayhi salam? It was Musa alayhi salam. And Al-Khidr alayhi salam worshipped Allah through which Sharia? The Sharia of Musa. Now, many ulama believe, the majority, that Al-Khadr was Nabi. But remember, Nabi follows the Rasul. Right? Nabi follows the Sharia of the Rasul. So Al-Khidr alayhi salam, he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. But because Musa alayhi salam stood one day among the children of Israel and he was asked by one of them, who is the most knowledgeable person on earth? He said, I am. And he was right. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks for more from his prophets. He wanted Musa alayhi salam to say, Allah has all knowledge. Allahu A'lam. So he told Musa alayhi salam, there is a servant of mine that I have taught him some masail that you do not know. So Musa alayhi salam said, if so Al-Khadr alayhi salam worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala following the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Yet Allah salam Musa alayhi salam, there is a person that I have taught him some masail that you do not know. So Musa alayhi salam said, I would like to go and learn from this servant of you, Ya Allah, even if I have to walk for tens and tens of years. أو أمضي حقبة, tens and tens of years. Al-Khidr alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him direct knowledge from him. مِن لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِن لَدُنَّا. This is عِلْم لَدُنِّي. Which means this is the type of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to his servants, to his ibad, with no teacher, no school, no book. It's called ilm ladunni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the entire Quran is ilm ladunni. وَإِنَّكَ لَتُلَقَّ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ. Most certainly you are given this Quran from the ladunni knowledge of the all-wise, the all-informed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Khadr alayhi salam that had that type of knowledge. The ulama look at Al-Khadr like walking with Al-Qadr, Al-Qadr wal-Qadr. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Al-Qadr wal-Qadr into a human being and he is walking around and we are walking with him and he is teaching us. When he made the hole in the ship, the ulama say this is an example of material loss. Think of a person who has lost money or lost business or lost a transaction. If that person has the yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything but the best for his servants, then we should understand that anything happens after we do the best we can. And our yaqeen is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that definitely that loss has a benefit for me. And this is the lesson from the ship. Musa alayhi salam could not take it. He said, man, they are carrying us for free and you are making a hole in the ship. What's wrong with you? You know, Musa alayhi salam was tough. But now when he explained to him that this hole was to save the ship. So the ulama say, when a person has a material loss and he has yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do anything but the best for the Muslim, for the mu'min, for the believer. The second story is about human loss. You know, I told you the story the other day. Five youngsters in Philadelphia, they went to, have some fun canoeing. And, the canoe, the boat flipped into them. Four, alhamdulillah, were saved, but one of them was found after 10 days dead, 21 years old. So now his family, alhamdulillah, they are good Muslims. They are saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is indeed a very horrible loss. You know, 21 years old kid, he is thinking about his future, he is thinking about his university, he is thinking about getting married, you know, all these things that youngsters think about, like anyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided this. So Surah Al-Kahf, the story when Al-Khadr alayhi salam killed the young boy, tells us that there is a reason, there is a hikmah, there is a wisdom why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done that. And the last one is when sometimes we do things in an environment that people do not appreciate. So Al-Khadr alayhi salam is walking with Musa alayhi salam, and he built the wall. Musa alayhi salam is saying, you know, no one in this town has made ikram for us. Those people are miser. And you are doing business for free? Have some money so we can buy some food. So sometimes when we do good work, we should do it fi sabilillah. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the compensation, that's good. If not, alhamdulillah, Allah always will compensate us His own way. Notice in the story of the war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of the story that they came to a qarya, a small town. It was a qarya. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا جِدَارًا. They found the wall. But when Al-Khidr alayhi salam interpreted the story, he said, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. The jidar, the wall, was owned by two orphans that live in the city. So now, which one is it? Is it a small town, qarya, or is it a city? Actually, both. So the two children, the two orphans used to live in the city, but the wall was in the small town, which means that Allah protected their treasure in a place that they did not even live in. Qarya and Medina. Why? Because their father was Salih. Their father was a righteous man. And then the last fitna that this surah, Al-Kahf, is talking about is the fitna of power and kingdom. Represented by Dhul Qarnayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much power, but he used that power the right way. He used it to serve the people. And two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that he was a just person. And the second one, he came to the town of the weak people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. These people were so weak in terms of their level of intelligence. Yet he helped them to build the bridge. The last thing I would like to say, that this surah, Surah Al-Kahf, resemble hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَا بِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَا بِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That anyone of you who sees a munkar should change it with his hand. If he cannot, then with his tongue speak against it. And if he cannot, then with his heart. Now, if you look at these stories, that's what we learn. The young people who ran to the cave, they changed the munkar with what? Hand, tongue, or heart? They ran away. They had no power. So they changed the munkar. They were speaking among themselves, creating that environment in the cave, in the heart. How about the two friends, the owner of the two gardens? They were equal. So the friend is making a dialogue. يُحَاوِرُهُ. He's making a dialogue with his friend. So he's trying to change the munkar with his tongue. How about Dhul Qarnayn? He had the power. So he changed the munkar with his hand. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.